You're listening to Retail Gets Real, brought to you by the National Retail Federation. Join us for a look inside the world's largest and most interesting industry. And now your host, Bill Thorne.
Welcome to Retail Gets Real, where we talk about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. I'm Bill Thorne with the National Retail Federation, and I am joined today by my co-host, my colleague, and my friend, Jen Overstreet. Hello, Jen.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Well, I'm even better because we have a great guest for today's podcast. Her name is Rosa Maria Sestilio. She is the Vice President of Loss Prevention at Barnes & Noble. Rosa Maria, welcome.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Well, tell us, what has been your journey? How did you get to where you are today, especially here in retail?
You know, it's really interesting. I think my story is probably similar to many people in retail, where you don't start off thinking you're going to go into retail.
We hear that a lot.
Right. I'm sure you did. So I started working part-time while I was going to school. And, you know, one thing led to another, and I kind of got the retail bug. I started off, actually, strangely enough, in the cosmetic field, you know, working the counters. And I saw people stealing. And back in those days, and I'm talking about 35 years ago.
That wasn't that long ago.
They didn't have reward programs and things. So, you know, when I would talk to people about it and call the security department, because that's what it was called at the time, I did it not because I was getting anything for it, but just because I was just personally disturbed that they were doing that. And at one point he said to me, I think you have a knack for this. And I thought, oh, no way would I ever do that. And I got bored in cosmetics, and I went over to the general office and started working there. And I started seeing refund frauds. And I'd call him again. And, you know, he was like, I'm telling you, you've got a knack for this. And I was like, no. One thing led to another, and he just really pushed and pushed me. And I went into the department at the lowest level, introductory level. And, you know, I stayed with this one company for about 8 years, just working my way through until I went to the next company as a manager. And it just, I never left.
That's excellent.
So it's just a crazy story.
So in 35 years in LP, you've probably seen quite a change.
I've seen the industry evolve in so many different ways. From the philosophy change. So it started off as security, it moved to loss prevention, and then there's asset protection, and now we're kind of evolving into more enterprise risk. My last job that I had in my last company, I had the entire risk portfolio reporting to me, so that was very different. So I've really seen, and the name changes have philosophy changes with them. It's not just a name change. So I've really seen this industry evolve, and I think I've been, you know, part of a disruptor, you know, part of making it change as well. Another component I think is really interesting is the woman component.
I was going to ask you about that.
And I think it's really important to talk about now in these times with everything that's going on. So when I started, I was one of the very few female executives. And I've told this story numerous times at the council and different things. So our audience members may have already heard this. But my very first NRF, when I was a new executive, I was so excited to be able to attend. I remember what I was wearing. It was just a really big moment for me. And I came, and I was with my boss, and there were very few women. A lot of booth babes, but very few female executives. And the booth babes in those days were that. They had motorcycles. They were very sexy. It was just made you feel a little uncomfortable. And one guy came up to my boss and said, how'd you score bringing your secretary with you?
Oh, no. Ooh. Is that true?
I kid you not. And I was, personally, I was like devastated, you know, and I didn't want to show it. I was so hurt. And I thought to myself, one day, I'm not going to do business with you. And in fact, I did not.
Cool. That's excellent. That's very good.
You know, and there are many of those stories. Now, today, there are so many women. It's wonderful. And women in decision-making jobs and in roles. And it's just wonderful to see the change.
Yeah. I would think that, you know, in terms of the technology that you all are employing now versus what you, when you first started, it has to be night and day.
There was no technology back then,
right.
So we did it. Now, I have to tell you, I think some of our skills were a little stronger because we didn't rely on something else. Now I find that people rely on technology, so you don't use your intuitive skills as much. So I've seen a change when I'm hiring people. You know, I feel like we had just a different skill set years ago.
Right.
But the technology is definitely helping. Look, when you do more with less, the technology acts as more people on your staff, right? So the cameras and all that, and the cameras have evolved even from when I first started.
Well, you see them on the floor here. It's just amazing.
They're amazing.
What they capture.
The 360s, you know, is what everyone's using right now, which is you can get a complete view of the store in such a, you know, with one camera,
right.
One or two cameras, which is huge.
There was one camera that was set up. It was one of the first, after I started at NRF, one of our first shows that I went to. And if you went by it, it would basically determine, you know, height, gender, guess around the age and the weight. This was way off, and it was very disturbing. I went to the guy that did
we
all
would not be using that.
Yeah. I was like, these people cannot come back.
Yeah.
I do not weigh that much, and I am not that old.
Yeah.
So,
and that's something that we're talking about now in the industry is just where is that privacy?
Sure.
You know, because facial recognition is very big, and people are using it now for access control. So there's a lot of conversation about that. We're always kind of pushing the envelope a little bit. But the world's changing, so you need to...
Well, you need to. I mean, and, you know, it's always interesting to me because we always say this about cybersecurity, which is the fraudsters, the criminals, they're always one step ahead, it seems like. And you catch up, and then they find something else.
Oh, yeah.
And then you catch up, and they'll always find that crack.
In my last role, I had the CISO reporting to me, so I was... Cybersecurity kept me up at night. Right?
Oh, I'm sure.
And... I didn't want a breach on my watch, but and I didn't have one. But you can't possibly stay ahead of them. Although some of the basic things, password changes, and there are some basic, almost what I call hygiene things that you can do, that you know, are just basic things. But you have a kid, you know, a domestic kid here in a basement, you know, at home working, doing stuff, and then people overseas all over the place, just constantly trying to penetrate your system.
You mentioned staying up. What keeps you up at night? I know you're part of the LP Council, NRF. What are you guys talking about? What is on your mind this year as you start planning toward the next?
Well, what keeps me up personally is just the state of the world right now and how every day there's a new conflict and something going on, and that's really scary. Mm-hmm. The council, you know, we're always trying to stay ahead of the curve and trying to, right now we're working a lot with public sector and private sector partnerships, mall partnerships, because of the threats that are out there and trying to stay ahead of, you know, making sure that emergency preparedness is always ready. And you can't prepare enough because an emergency is never going to feel like you did it the right way.
Right.
So the more you prepare for it, the better it is. So we're constantly talking about that. That's something that's really fresh on our minds right now.
I would think that one of the challenges that you face, well, maybe not. I mean, recruiting, getting people into the LP career track, is that something that you're finding has the interest in that has grown, or the understanding of the importance of that has grown? And a sub part of that question would be the companies themselves recognizing that loss prevention has to have a seat at the C-level table. I mean, it's just that important because of what you're doing to ensure continuity of operations, saving money, and keeping the customer safe.
Yeah. To answer the first part is there's always an interest. I mean, I can always find people who are interested in the field, and they come from everywhere. So I came from the cosmetics, you know, to start off. I mean, you can find people everywhere. And personally, I look for people who just have that, I call it like a fire in the belly. You know, I don't necessarily need someone with experience. I can train, I can teach. I just want someone who's curious, who's going to challenge me, who's, I like diversity of thought. That's what I look for.
Right.
So I can always find people. And then to the second part of your question, with, you know, having a seat at the table, it just really varies from company to company and what they want. And it takes time to establish the understanding for that. You know, I've been with a couple different companies and I've had different experiences. So it's just, you have to have patience and stay focused on what you're doing, and then eventually you'll get there. Yeah.
Are there any, you know, the field has grown and changed. Are there any misperceptions that still remain about loss prevention that maybe not you or maybe your other peers in the industry are facing that?
Sure.
You've kind
I mean,
of
I
run
think
into?
Yeah, I think that people think that you just catch the bad guys, mm-hmm. right? And it's so much more than that. So it's about protecting. the employee base. It's about protecting your profits. You know, there's so much more than just catching the bad people. You know, so you want to really be a strategist and be part of the company team, right? And so supporting the company's initiatives really is what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to understand what your company's initiatives are in order to do that. But it's not just the rough and tumble catching the bad guys. That's a portion of it. That's always going to be an element of it, but that's not the entire job.
When you think about loss prevention and the work that you do, not just in the store or in the business, but working with local law enforcement and all of that that goes into that, how has that evolved over time?
So I will tell you the most important thing with that is to make the partnerships and the relationships when you don't need them.
Right.
Right. And that's how it's evolved. In the past, you would just deal with a local person who had the beat in the area. You know, that's what I did 35 years ago. But now it's really important that you make those relationships. And the council's had meetings in Quantico. We were there a couple months ago. And the stories that we were met with the FBI and different agencies, and that was the message over and over again, is don't wait for an emergency. Make the partnerships ahead of time.
So what does that mean, make the partnership? Is that just picking up the phone? Is there technology? Are there networks?
It's networking. It's going to the local police station, meeting with their management, you know, so their officers, there's a management structure in law enforcement, and getting to know them, having them know who you are, who your company is, what you're doing, and what can they do for you, and having them walk through your stores, having them understand what your plans are. You know, I've shared in various different companies, I've shared the floor plans with them. So if there's an emergency, you know, a lot of different police agencies are collecting those.
Right.
So they know if there's an active threat or something, they know where to go. They know where your exits are.
And so you find that law enforcement, those public entities are very receptive and responsive.
So receptive.
That's cool.
Much more so than if you were just call 911, right?
Right.
So it's really important to make those ahead of time. Go and have a cup of coffee with someone and sit down and talk about who you are and what your plan is and what you need from them. And they're very, very, very open.
When you talk
at all levels, excuse me.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, local, state, federal, at all levels.
Well, it's got to be, because it's not just the threat of somebody, you know, stealing something off of your countertop. It's the threat of somebody walking in with a weapon and threatening not only the employees but your customers. And that's, I mean, it's just scary at the top of the emphasis of the word scary.
So we're moving away from active shooter,
right?
And law enforcement likes to call it active threat for a couple of different reasons. First is they don't want the shooter to feel that we're glamorizing, you know, that role, that he's going to be known, he or she'll be known as an active shooter. But active threat is so much bigger. It's not just shooting. There could be so many different things that happen, right?
Sure.
So they're calling it an active threat right now. And you really need to be aware of your surroundings everywhere you go, movie theaters, you know, post office. Like, how do you get in? How do you get out? You need to just be aware. Grocery stores. You know, it's very, very important.
Jen and I both live in Washington, D.C., and, you know, I think that we're, the level of awareness is so much higher because we're facing it every single day. When you see the roads blocked off, or you get the push alerts from the Metropolitan Police Department about things that are going on, It's scary. So I think that there is a heightened level of awareness, but I wonder if it's the same in Valdosta, Georgia, or whether it's the same in another small town. But it happens everywhere.
It's a really good question, because I know when I moved to D.C. from Kansas,
oh wow,
my husband and I went to the movie theater, and before the movie, now they do this, be aware, notice your exits. So they do this little announcement as part of them before you go to the movie. And we looked at each other and we're like, is this because we live in D.C. now, or are we just doing this everywhere now?
You should be doing it everywhere.
Yeah.
But I'll ask you, you know, a question. Even though you're aware, do you have 3 days worth of medication with you?
Nope.
Right? So you might not be able to get home.
Right.
So that's at the level that you need to think through your plans. Do you have a plan for your pets?
Nope.
If you can't get home. So it's not just your children. It's, you know, really thinking these things through. And there's a lot more to think through with it.
My first guest that has given me takeaways.
No kidding.
Homework.
And homework.
Homework. Yeah. You know, because you may not be able to get home. You may. Do you have a pair of comfortable shoes if you have to walk out of the city, you know, into a suburb?
Nope.
Definitely not.
It's funny, though, Rosemary, because I think that after 9/11, of course, everybody was so into, yes. I would have answered probably each one of those questions, yes. We had safe places. So the company that I worked with at that time, here is where you go. If you cannot communicate, this is just move to these areas. and we had the supplies there, both in the office, and they make kits that you could take home. We had things in the car so that if we were having to drive a distance, we were prepared. All of that seems to have kind of, you know, it's not gone away by any stretch. And I have very, very dear friends that are fully prepared. I think that they're on the cusp of building a, you know, safe room. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think for the vast majority, though, it's until something happens that all of a sudden, bam, it's back. And you're looking at those things.
Yeah, we shouldn't forget.
No, we shouldn't.
The threat is still very much there.
Yep.
If you look around the world and what's going on. So you don't want to be an alarmist and you don't want to be afraid, but you just want to be prepared.
Right.
And that's what I tell people. There's a big difference. You know, you don't want to be afraid, but you need to think through your pets and your children. And, you know, if you can't use a cell phone, because cell phones will get jammed.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You know, so what do you do? And
how do you keep the balance between, I mean, it's your job to think about everything that can go wrong, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And think about the worst mm-hmm. case scenario. Mm-hmm. How do you keep the balance between thinking about the worst case scenario all the time and preparing for that and just, like, you know, living your life as a normal
I'm lucky I don't
person.
Have anxiety, so I don't yeah. I'm not an anxious person, so that helps me. And I'm just not someone who is afraid. I just believe that if you are fearful, then you are given to it, right? So I just live my life every day, but I try to live it prepared.
Yeah, I think preparation, that's not paranoia, that's just being prepared in yeah. the event that something were to happen. And I'll tell you, anybody that went through what many of us did back at 9/11, if you think about it, you're spurred towards action. It just, it's amazing.
You know, I went to Times Square for New Year's Eve, right?
So you did?
I did, yeah. And it was wonderful. I trust the NYPD, and I trust my life in their hands, and I had a wonderful time.
I trust that there aren't any bathrooms down there.
Yeah.
I went to a private party, and then went, yeah, I was in that area. But, you know, so I'm really not afraid.
That's
I'm
great.
Not afraid, but I'm prepared.
Yeah, I don't, and I would say, you know, I speak for myself, I won't speak for Jen, but I don't walk around scared, but I do walk around aware. And when I'm in a big crowd and I, you know, feel that there is potential, I'm aware of where I can go and what I can do in order to avoid becoming a victim of any kind of incident.
And that you can help others if you need
Correct.
To.
Correct, absolutely right. So, we are running short on time, and I can't believe it. I could go on all day.
I
got to, when we finish up, I've got to tell you a couple of stories of some experiences I had when I worked for a retailer and,
okay.
and the opportunity to spend time with the loss prevention people, which I would tell here, but then we go over time. So, we do have a portion of this program, and you're not aware of it, but it's called Rapid Response. And what we're going to do is we're going to ask you a question, simple, and then you come up with the first thing that comes to your mind.
Okay.
You ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Jen.
Who was your childhood hero?
My dad.
Pizza or burger?
Pizza.
What's the one app you can't live without?
Waze.
What is your biggest pet peeve?
Poor spelling.
Poor spelling.
Oh.
No, you're speaking to us as a communication person. I love
that. I love that,
too. I'm with you.
What song inspires you or pumps you up?
That Rachel, I can't think of the name of it. I can't think
Sing
of
it. Sing it.
Rachel, you know who I'm talking about. I can't think of it right now.
But you have one.
I do have one. Right. It'll come to me as soon as I leave.
You have some pump-up music.
Yeah.
What's the best advice you've ever received?
Take it slow.
What is your guilty pleasure?
Ice cream.
Well, I think that's going to do it. Rosa Maria, you made it through Rapid Fire.
It was fun. I'd love to do it again.
I'd love to do it again. Well, we appreciate you coming.
Thank you.
You do phenomenal work, and thank you for your involvement with the National Retail Federation.
Thank you.
All that you do for not just your company, but all of our members in the industry as a whole.
There is no other trade association that I would work with.
Well, we appreciate it so much. Thank you, Jen,
for another
co-host.
This was really fun.
And thanks to all of our listeners for listening to another episode of Retail Gets Real. We're going to post more information about the topics we discussed today on our website, retailgetsreal.com, where you can also find links to other episodes. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Retail Gets Real, brought to you by NRF. For more information about the National Retail Federation, visit us online at nrf.com.